How many of you are grateful for God's hand on your life and God's hand in our community? You know, it's so cool to see videos like that. This past week, we were with Joyce Kawakami out at the Luana Gardens, and just to see working with the National Guard and with the community that somebody like Miles and Joyce stepped out in faith, feeding people out of the back of their truck, and then now it's turned into this huge distribution that serves the whole island of Maui with like crates and crates of food and buses and property, and it's just so amazing to see what God can do with a life that is available to him. How many of you want God to use your life and our lives collectively as a church? And it's amazing the faithfulness of God and what he does through people who are willing to serve him. Thank you, Miles and Joyce, for being faithful to the call that God has in your guys' lives. We are jumping in. We've been doing this soaping challenge. How many of you have been jumping in? Oh, happy birthday, Kaleo. 50 years old. Half a century old. How many of you have been jumping into the soaping challenge with your kids and your family? We've been having a great time with our family in the morning. They don't like waking up early, but we've threatened them and done all kinds of stuff to make sure that they're up there in the morning at 7:30. And it's been a good time just hearing. There was one day last week that everybody's soaps were kind of along the same theme, and that was kind of cool. This morning, Pastor Zach is going to come, and he's going to share the first part of the word. We're going to watch a video on one of our heroes of soaping in Grace Bible Church. His name is Brian Hugh. He goes to the Wailuku campus, and he's done over 2,000 soaps in the past, I don't know how many years. But the thing that's amazing about this guy, he is the champion husband, because he doesn't just do soaps for himself, but he does soaps for his wife. Who does that? I don't know, but he made me feel guilty this morning listening to him. So you can watch this video as we get ready for the message.
Hi, my name is Brian Hugh, and I've been doing soap now for about 5.5 years straight, just over 2,000 soaps. I also include a soap for my wife in more recent times, which is great. I feel we make a better connection, not only with God, but with my wife. Soaps definitely wasn't the easiest thing to do in the beginning. It was like, how do you do it? You know, so I would get help from other pastors online, you know, to get a topic. And then from there, I kind of get how they prayed. And that was going on for like months in the beginning, actually. And then I got enough confidence to say, okay, I got some topics that might relate to me, you know, obviously for all of us. And then I went with that. It took a long time in the beginning to just do one soap. And then as I got more comfortable sharing with God and God sharing with me, and what started it was I had a medical challenge back in 2012, and I wasn't soaping back then, but then I thought I better start figuring this out. And as soon as around 2014 came around, then I just started committing to the idea that, okay, I can do this. I selected this soap, which was done August 3rd, and it was called Get the Right Image. The scripture is James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. All right, my observation, we should be open with the Lord, who will give us wisdom. When we ask upon him to do so, he has lots of it. For us, learn and grow always. Application. It is to my advantage to pray and ask the Lord for his wisdom in all areas of my life, for he is one that will provide it to me. Then my prayer, Father, thank you that you are not a fault finder, but you are full of mercy. Thank you that you are not waiting for me to perform perfectly, and then you'll show me your love and goodness. I believe that you will empower me to become all you created me to be in Jesus' name. In order to really start a soap, in my opinion, is that you need to find a why and a good reason. You know, it might be a good reason for you to prosper, or a good reason that maybe you had health challenges like me and then overcame some of it and still overcoming. So find your reason, and I believe that the Lord will lead you from that point on.
That's so good. I love that. Man, God is good, amen. How many of you enjoyed worship this morning? I was in the back and I was just getting wrecked. I started crying and everything. And during the slow songs, I wanted to scream and cheer. I don't know, anybody else feel like that sometimes? No, just me? Okay, a couple people. I don't know why, but it's like it takes the first fast song or first couple fast songs for me to begin to connect and to get into God's presence, and then I get excited. And I don't know why, but it happens like that for me. I just get excited, and during the slow songs, which is the most disruptive thing sometimes, I feel like screaming. In the back, I wanted to go, woo, at one of the points, because the message of the songs is so good. You know what I mean? It talks about God's goodness, his faithfulness towards us, his goodness, making room for it. It's like a declaration that we're singing to him. And it, in my spirit, I just begin to get excited about it because we're talking about our God, you know? And I had to hold back because I know some people would look back at me and be like, what the heck are you doing? If I was at home, yeah, I would have been doing it. But I love what Uncle Brian said about getting into his soaps. And he said that in the beginning, it was hard. I don't know if you guys caught that, but in the beginning, getting into soaps was hard for him. It was a little difficult. But as he kept doing it, it got easier. It got better. And he said that it was easier for him to talk to God and for God to talk to him. And I think that's huge for us, because I think a lot of us struggle with that barrier, that wall that we hit when we may not know, feel like we know enough, or we feel as if we don't understand the scriptures as well. You know, anybody feel like that sometimes? But push through. I want to encourage you to continue to push through, because once you begin to spend more time with God, the more you spend time with him, the more his scriptures become alive to you, the more you begin to understand it, the more he begins to talk to you, the easier it is for you to begin to share your heart with him. And then there's a dialogue, there's communication that happens, and it's so good for that. And I'm sure, okay, so how many of you like to do what is right? Wow, only a few of us like to do it. Everybody else, they don't like to do what is right. I'm with you, not all the time. No, nobody likes to do what is right all the time, right? However, I bet 100% of us in here wants to be prosperous and successful. Amen? How many of you want to be prosperous and successful? Only a few of you. It's okay. I'm sure all of you want to be. Because, I mean, come on. That's like our desire, right? Wherever we go, whatever we do, we want to be good at it. We don't want to be the junk one. When you're playing sports, you want to be the best one on the team, right? You're in business, you want to make the most money. I mean, that's how I feel. God gives us a beautiful blueprint of how our way can be prosperous and successful. But it may not look as how you see it in your head. It may be a little different. Okay? Not the process. The process is the same, but the outcome may be a little different than what you expect. So Joshua 1:8, This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So good. Joshua is about to enter the promised land, begin to fight some battles, and to take back the land that was promised to them. And this is the encouragement that God gave to him. The encouragement that he gave to him. That if you meditate on it day and night, be careful to do it according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. God's promise to Joshua. And God promises that to us as well. So let's break this down to help with this. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. So the first part, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Verse 18 of chapter 17 of Deuteronomy. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. Continue on to verse 19. It shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life. Read it, and it shall be with him all the days of his life. It's like a family heirloom, when you think about that, where you keep it, you hold on to it, and you treasure it. That's what it was like. Not to mention the amount of labor and time it took in writing out the Bible. Any of you, can you imagine writing that out? Anybody? Anybody? No? I can imagine it, and I would not like it. Would not like it. My hand would be cramping up after the first page. I grew up in a world where we type. We don't write as much nowadays. We type majority of the time. But it shall not depart from your mouth. Read it all the days of your life. I love it. Everything that we say, this is the challenge to us. Everything that we say must be according to the Word of God. It has to align itself with the Word of God. Amen? Meditating on it day and night, reading it. That word meditate in the scripture, it means to mumble constantly, over and over and over again. That they took time out of their day to do that consistently. To read it, talk according to it. Next part, may be careful to do according to all that is written. The next half of verse 19 says that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them. Only doing what is written in the Word, that is what's going to yield the results of the promise of what comes next. Amen? Which is that you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. I sat on this as I was prepping, and I thought, why does it say you will make your way prosperous? And it wasn't a capital U, because this is God talking to Joshua now. It's not, he didn't say, I will make your way prosperous. He said, you will make your way prosperous. That's interesting, right? Because I don't know about you, but in my head, initially when I would read this, it meant that God was going to make me prosperous. And I'm sure his hand is going to be upon that. But it's our choices. It's our decisions. It's how we act, how we do things each and every day, how we say things and interact with people. That is what makes us prosperous. When we do according to what the Word says. And that's a challenge for us. That's the challenge. prosperity and good success follows obedient people. People who are obedient to God and His word and the call that He's placed on each and every one of us. Joshua's courage and his hope of victory, okay, it hinged on him obeying the law of God. His prosperity and his success hinged on him obeying the law of God. Your and my situations may not be like that. We're not going into battle, you know, a physical battle where we can see what is the enemy and we can see the swords or the guns. And we're relying on a supernatural power in order to fight for us. It may not be like that. But we have battles each and every single day of our lives that we have to fight, whether they be small or large. And for us to prosper in those situations and be successful, we need to be in the Word. We need to live it out. We need to internalize it and know it. I felt like God was going to fight everything for me. I didn't have to lift a finger or do one thing. You know what I mean? That God is 100% all grace and I didn't have to do anything. And God was going to do everything for me. But that's not the case. God calls us to do what the word says. Faith without works is dead. Our works and what we do as we worship Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, therein lies the opportunity to be prosperous and successful in our obedience. God is giving His promise of prosperity and success to us, to you and to me. As we understand the word, being ready in all occasions, understanding the word and being ready in all occasions, that our speech is consistent with His word and that we do what is written in it. Pastor John did an amazing job with us as we were youth growing up in the church, that every single time he would encourage us to not just be hearers of the word but be doers of the word, that we take what we hear in service and we take it to our families, we take it to our schools, and we begin to live it out day by day by day. How many of you know that's hard? That's a hard thing to do, because in church we get challenged. We get challenged with the word of God, we get challenged with the truth of God, and we have a choice whether to apply it to our lives, put it in the back of our minds, or not do anything about it. And I'm guilty of putting it in the back of my mind and not doing anything about it for a long period of time in my life. Amen. I don't know if any of you feel the same way, but God is challenging us to be obedient, to do what is in His word, to apply it to our lives. And that's why soaping is such a good thing. It's an awesome avenue, a vehicle that we can learn and begin to slowly apply God's word in our lives. As we read the word, we observe what's in it, we find out what the application of that scripture is to us in our lives, and then praying that God gives us the strength and grace to do it. Amen? Man, over 2,000 soaps. Champion. And our steadfast commitment to abide with God and to be obedient with Him is going to yield prosperity and success in our lives. Amen. Remember that. Takes two things. God and you, not just all God. You and God. God working through you and in you in order to bring about these results. So Pastor John is going to share a testimony about his soap and some application on this.
Awesome, Zach. Can we give Zach a hand? One of the cool things about the Word is that when we read the Word of God, it gives us insight into the heart of God. And when we understand the heart of God, it's much easier to do it because we can internalize it by seeing why he put certain things in Scripture. I'll just give you a we've been doing soaps with our family in the morning, and one of the soaps that that has helped me in a challenge in my life. So I am 40-something years old. My kids are teenagers now. So my older ones are teenagers, and it comes with all the challenges of having a teenage kid, hormones and talking back and attitude and thinking they know everything. Not saying that any of my kids are like that, but they are. And one of the biggest challenges is the opposite sex, because now they're beginning to notice the opposite sex. And it's one challenge to raise up a good kid. It's another challenge to keep them away from you know, all the bad ones out there. And personally, I there's nobody that I think is good enough for my daughter or my son. And as they get older, I've always respected guys that I see on the internet that type out contracts that they hand to, you know, the boy that comes over, and they clean their gun in front of, you know, the boy and say, you know, if you touch my daughter in any way that I don't approve of, I'm going to kill you. You know, that always made me feel good watching things like that. And I thought, yeah, I don't even have a gun. So that's why I started hunting. Now I know how to shoot something that's living, kill it, dress it, you know. So now my threat's actually, there's some weight behind it. Anyway, I was reading Joshua because we're doing soaps, and you know, I'm reading through Joshua, and one of the cool things that I thought was really interesting, you can throw the scripture up there, and I'm just going to go through this really quickly, but it says, but Joshua said to the two men who had spied out of the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring the woman and all she has, and the young men who have been spies, they went in and brought out Rahab. Everyone say Rahab, her father, her mother, brother, and all that she had. So they brought her out. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, or the prostitute, her father's house and all that she had. And I started thinking about that, and I remember in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. So this is a cool thing about reading scripture, is that when you first read scripture and you first go through the Bible, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. But the more that you read it, the more you're going to see like connecting the dots. And the scripture says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that's written in it. And then it says, then your way shall be prosperous and successful. And that prosper, if you look at what prosper means, it's like this explosion of grace, this explosion of God working in your life. That's prospering. But success is just this steady, consistent plodding in doing what's right. And so there's this plodding of just consistent discipline and doing what's right, and that success, and that leads to like these explosions of God just moving in your life. And I find reading the Word of God is like that. Like you do it on a consistent basis, and then the more that you do it, like God will start like giving you like cool insights and stuff. And anyway, so I was looking at this and Rahab, and I thought Rahab, she was a prostitute. They pulled her out into the camp of Israel, and that's a cool story in itself. But in Matthew, it talks about Rahab being in the genealogy of Jesus, that if you go from Abraham all the way down to Jesus, Rahab is in there in Matthew chapter 1. And so somebody married her. Isn't that interesting? Like, she was the only one saved out of Jericho, and there was an Israelite that saw this prostitute that was a foreigner, not an Israelite. Back then it was like, you're not supposed to marry foreigners. But he saw this foreigner who was a prostitute, slept with a lot of guys, and he was like, I want her to be my wife. And I thought, what kind of guy would do that? So then I wanted to jump into the scripture and find out what was the genealogy, who was the guy that married. Do you guys want to know who married her? Okay, so in Matthew chapter 1, it said that Rahab was born from, and I said salmon in my in the message, and my wife said, it's probably the L is not silent in the Old Testament. It's just silent in America. So call him Salmon. I was like, okay, Salmon. So Salmon was the one who married Rahab and then had Boaz, right? Everybody knows Boaz, right? So So, not everybody. But salmon, if you go, salmon, if you go several generations up from salmon, his grandmother was Tamar, another prostitute in scripture. And so several generations later, there's Salmon, and he had a great-great-great grandmother who was a prostitute, and then he had Boaz. And Boaz was the one that married Ruth. Married Ruth. And Ruth was a foreigner who was previously married, and her husband died. And so I looked at that, and I thought, huh, that's interesting, because Boaz had a mother who was a prostitute. And he probably was like, I love my mother, and my mother came from a checkered past, and my mom, you know, did some bad things, but God redeemed my mother, and she raised us, and she loved us. And I'm looking at Ruth, and Ruth has laid down at my feet in this field, and she's asking me to marry her and to take her as my wife. And we're not supposed to take foreigners as our wives, but my mom was a foreigner, and my dad took her as a wife, and I'm a product of that. And I'm not that bad, so maybe, you know, if I marry Ruth, God will do something good out of it. And then generations later, Jesus is born. Isn't that cool? So this is the hope that I get from that. How many of you have ever felt like you were past hope? That you messed up so much that God couldn't possibly want to use me in a big way? How many have ever felt that way? Yeah, I think we all have, right? And how many of you have looked at someone else and said, God can't use that person. That person's beyond the grace of God, right? How many of you have felt that? And I think what this story says is, you know, God could redeem Rahab being a prostitute, but Salmon looked at Rahab and he didn't discount Rahab. He was like, God can do something in Rahab, and I'm willing to marry her because God can redeem. That doesn't mean that I want my kids to marry prostitutes. But it helped me have grace for my kids and for whoever they get married, and trust that God is going to do something good in whoever they like and who likes them. And that's a big miracle for me, right? But soaping, it does stuff like this. When you read it, it shows you the heart of God. And not only does it show you the heart of God, but it allows you to not have to force doing the word of God. It helps you to be able to act in the same way that God does, because you understand his heart. So I can trust that it's way easier for me to trust that God will bring the right person to my daughter and the right person to my son, because he can. And even if I look at somebody and think, they're not good enough, God can do something through relationships. Amen? And the greatest lesson in all of that is that the same way that Boaz could love Ruth because he had a mother who was a prostitute, Jesus had a great-great-grandmother who was a prostitute, and it allows him to look past our failure and our shortcomings and our sin, and love us and make a covenant with every single one of us, no matter what we've done wrong. Isn't that good news? That in Jesus, we have a kinsman redeemer. We have the same way that Boaz took Ruth in, Jesus takes every single one of us in spite of our flaws and in spite of our sin, because he received that in his own lineage, and he extends that covenant to us. Isn't that amazing? Is that good stuff? Why don't we all stand? We're gonna close with a song this morning. I love that song that the worship team sang, "Making Room for God," and I just want to encourage you. You know, we're going all the way up until, what is it, Valentine's Day? What a fitting end to our soap challenge! But we're going all the way to Valentine's Day. And it should go way past that. I love how Brian said he started soaping in 2012, but never got consistent in it till 2014. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint, but our challenge officially ends Valentine's Day. But I just want to challenge you this morning that if you haven't developed that discipline of soaping, it really does reveal the heart of God over time to you and makes it so much easier to do the word of God because he reveals himself in his word. Amen. Let's sing this song together. And then we'll... God, that you are continually shaping and molding us into the image of your son. And God, that you do that as we get into your word, as we hear your word. Lord, there's a supernatural act that changes us and transforms us into your image through your word. And it says that your word will never return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it out to do. And God, in the next several weeks, Lord, I pray a grace on every single one in this house that as we dedicate ourselves to jumping into your word, that we understand and believe that it's not just a book, that it's not just words on a page, but that it's your eternal truth and that it is who you are. You said that the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And there's a supernatural power, a supernatural presence within the scriptures. God, we dedicate ourselves. We ask that you would, as we get into your word, that you would change and transform our lives as you open our eyes to see your character and who you are revealed in the scripture. God, that it would change us. And Lord, that we would do what you have asked us to do through your spirit that moves within us. So God, even as we enter this new year, it's the first month of the new year, but God, there are so many open doors that you have for us. There are so many people that are searching, so many people that are confused, that are in darkness, that you are opening the opportunity of your light to shine into their lives. God, we present ourselves to be used by you. Lord, to consecrate our lives to be vessels that you can move in and move through to change this world and to build your kingdom. Could you just repeat this prayer after me as we close this morning? Say, dear God, I make room for you. I present myself before you as a living sacrifice that's holy and set apart for you. I consecrate myself, my mind, and my affections, and who I am for your purpose and for the purpose of your kingdom. My prayer is that you would use me. Thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Have a blessed week. Amen.